The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. May we pray. O God of love, we thank thee for the blessings of life and for thy love toward us. We thank thee for the privilege of learning. We are grateful for this school and for the fellowship which we experience as we work together to better equip ourselves for the task to which thou hast called us. Create within each of us, we pray, our Father, the right spirit, one that is never arrogant or rude, one that does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful, proud or jealous, but which seeks always to be like Jesus, who came not to be ministered unto, but to serve and to give his life for others. May we be faithful ministers of the truth, which thou hast endowed us to. Help each of us to so live that the words we speak, the deeds we do, and the spirit in which we live day by day may somehow count on the side of righteousness and truth, of peace and goodwill. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our Christ, we pray. Amen.
A litany of confession and communion. Confess your faults one to another. The shape of hope is the experience of failure.
Pastor, how can I really know my God?
Run, my son, run hard. Run to the Scriptures. Search their pages, Genesis to Revelation. Pray, my son, pray hard. Pray often. Pray when you wake and when you go to bed. Pray when you walk and pray when you run. Do right, my son. Do right at all times and in all places. Do right by old ladies and in the parked car under the plane tree. Do right in all the earthly places.
And shall I succeed?
No, my son, you shall fail. No, my son, you shall fail, and until you do, there is no hope. So run, my son, run hard to fail. You will understand this. Tell me what you have done, and I will rejoice with you. Tell me your failures, and I will show you the shape of hope sprung from the failure of the grave.
Out of failure,
Brethren, I do not consider that I have made Christ my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on in Christ Jesus. A few verses for your hearing, taken from the first chapter of 1 John. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his the Son, cleanseth us from all of our sin. Our theme this morning is fellowship, something that I believe is lacking in our seminary activities. We are messengers, all of us, messengers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our honor, and a great honor it is, to present him, and in so doing to present God's message to the world. It is my, and I trust your, ambition, prayer, and desire to be faithful to the honorable task that is ours. The heart of the message to a world that is in the darkness of sin is that God is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. This light came to the world in Jesus Christ, and as we become his disciples, we in turn become the light of the world. He himself said unto his early disciples, and is saying to us today, through the book of Matthew, ye are the light of the world. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It seems to me that possibly we could reverse the statement and say, if the fruit of walking in the light is in part fellowship one with another, then if we break this fellowship, we cease to be the light of the world that God would have us be. If this be so, and I believe it is, it behooves us to maintain this fellowship in our midst, and especially as ministers of the gospel. I would like to bring to mind this morning 7 good reasons why we should keep the fellowship. 7 may not be good, homiletically speaking, but biblically speaking, it is a sense of completeness. First of all, we are all born of the same Father. All of us are children of God, born of the Spirit, adopted into his kingdom, born again. We belong to the same household, the household of faith, all of us having made a faith response unto the Father God. The grace of God makes us willing to be his. It is no merit of our own will, our own power. And this grace is shown also in Jesus Christ, as we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them
gave he power to become sons of God. I trust that all of us have received Jesus Christ, and in so doing have become sons and daughters of Almighty God. We truly have become one big family, one big happy family, hopefully having fellowship one with another. In the second place, we are all bought with the same price. Our lives have been redeemed, reclaimed, and it costs the same for each one of us. God gave his only begotten Son to reclaim my life, and he did the same for you. I might add also that it took all of Christ for each one of us. Thus, we are no longer our own. Paul tells us that we are temples of God, a temple, a dwelling place for God. Hence, we are not our own. We are possessed by and for God and his work in this world. It is our duty, therefore, to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are his. This would be reason sufficient in itself for us to maintain fellowship among ourselves. But may I continue to bring to mind a third reason, and that is that we are all members of the same body. Paul again tells us that he, that is Christ, is the head of the body, the church. And we as members of the church become members of this body, the body of Christ. Our function as individuals may be different, but it is of the same body that we work. Each member must do his part for the body to be complete and effective in its work. One member not functioning properly will disrupt the complete effectiveness of the whole body. Further, we are taught by the same Spirit. We read from John, "I have yet many things to say unto you," as Jesus taught his disciples, "but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." Taught by the same Spirit. I grant you that there are no two of us on the same level as pertains to the knowledge of God and his work in this world, but that we do know each one of us has been given and taught by the same Spirit. I grant you also, and I encourage you to examine yourselves and see that you can be further. You could be further at this point in your life had you helped God a little more along the way. This is my conviction. Do you not find reason here to keep the fellowship, all of our knowledge of God and his work being given by the same Spirit? We are all walking in the same path, a path of faith. Faith in God as he leads us in paths of righteousness. Righteous paths that only can lead to God. The only path that can lead to a God who is righteous. We are then walking together. And I might bring to you this morning the question, can two walk together except they be agreed, found in Amos? If we stay in the same path, the path of righteousness, are we not to be agreed, having fellowship one with another? But to continue, we are all serving the same master. Matthew tells us that one is your master, even Christ, and all ye our brethren. We are members of the same household, brothers and sisters in Christ.
encouragement for us to be in fellowship, love one with another. It appears as we look upon our seminary life that there are many masters being served, different masters than the one I serve today. I might remind you that individuality and self-pride, selfish desires, will not alter the fact that you are serving the same God that I am, and that you are serving the same God that your fellow man is. The same master gives our commands. And I might put it in our computer language of today, we all receive our impulses, our commands, our orders from the same control center. But finally, we are all heirs to the same inheritance. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Only firstborn are heirs to the inheritance of earth in earthly families, but all children of God will inherit heaven, the heir promised to each one of us. It is not by any of our merit, on any of our part, our work, that will enable us to inherit heaven. It is truly and simply a gift of God, His grace to us. If we partake of Christ as His brethren, then we will partake of His glory and heaven. What more do we need to inspire us to keep the fellowship? With so much in common, why are we so different in our spiritual lives? Do we not have concern for our fellow man, for one another, even our own fellow ministers? Do we not have love, the love that Christ can bring into our lives as we give Him first place in them? Are we letting the power of reconciliation, the power that God can give us through His Spirit, work through us, the power that can bring man to God and man to man? I believe that the basis of fellowship is love one for another. If we are born of the same Father, but with the same price, members of the same body, taught by the same Spirit, walking the same path, serving the same Master, heirs of the same inheritance, why not love one another more than we have in the past? I might add also, just before we sing our hymn, our next hymn, the first verse of this hymn is Jesus Christ, I believe in His love, and we can say as we sing, blessed be that tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like unto that above.
May we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.